Over the past few years, we've been talking with organisations and charities from around the globe about electric and hybrid vehicles. Now, it's not about their green credentials or the costs involved. It's been around the noise they make or the noise they don't make. Now, there have been many calls for this to be looked into. When you think about it, you're out on the street, perhaps you're maybe in a busy environment, because at certain speeds, they are, well, almost silent. Now, a little bit later, we'll hear from Jaguar Land Rover about some of the work they've been involved in. But first of all, let's speak with John Wellsman from Guide Dogs. John, silent vehicles have been talked about for years now, but in terms of guide dogs and guide dog owners, there's also been a lot of chat.
There has been, yes. I mean, I joined Guide Dogs in 2009, and certainly through our campaigning and our policy work, there was a raised profile for the potential danger of what we call silent or electric or electric hybrid vehicles, and that they make next to no noise at slow speed. Certainly back in the day, we did some work with various vehicle manufacturers in Europe. I think it was Nissan and Renault, looking at the sounds that vehicles could create. We also were participating in work with Lotus Engineering in looking at the sorts of sounds that electric vehicles could make. Certainly worldwide, there were different sounds proposed that possibly we in the UK would find problematic, things like bird sound or galloping horses and the like. So certainly Guide Dogs has been involved in all that conversation about the sound of vehicles and making sure that vision impaired people know that those vehicles are going to make a sound, and if they make a sound, what that sound might sound like as it's approaching them.
As a guide dog owner myself, John, you know, I've come across silent vehicles when I've been crossing a road, perhaps, and maybe cars are stopped and I didn't realise the vehicle was mainly in front of me, and indeed coming round corners as well. So the potential for accidents can be quite high. Have you heard from guide dog owners in that respect at all?
Yes, they have. They've expressed a lot of concern, and we will know that those are worldwide concerns. So certainly people like the National Federation for the Blind in the US have done a lot of work around the attitudes of vision impaired people. Now, you might argue, well, with the advent of autonomous vehicles, you know, if a vehicle is silent, does it really matter? Well, it does matter to vision impaired people. You may have the environmental concerns with the environmental lobby saying, look, we're trying to reduce road noise. But you have the concern from vision impaired people accepting that, yes, it would be nice to have a much quieter environment, but we still need to be aware of the traffic around us. Now, it's actually knowing possibly the speed of the vehicle, its rate of acceleration, its deceleration, maybe with some of the stop-start technologies that a lot of vehicles, including my own vehicle, have. You know, as you're quite right, at traffic junctions, they don't make any noise at all. And to suddenly, as a guide dog owner myself, to step out and suddenly a vehicle's noise to suddenly appear from nowhere is quite startling. So, you know, we have, over the years, been doing a lot of work to raise that issue with vehicle manufacturers and say, look, we don't expect these vehicles to sound like V8 engines or anything, but we do expect them to make a noise which is recognizable as a vehicle and gives us some indication as to the vehicle's state, e.g. is it moving, is it stationary, is it picking up in speed, or is it slowing down?
How did the work with Jaguar Land Rover come about?
We came into contact with Jaguar, and I certainly know at the time Ian Suffield came to us and was asking similar questions. So I think it was a getting together of like minds to say, well, what are the issues and what are the ways in which we might ask a willing vehicle manufacturer like Jaguar to think about those issues and to come up with some tangible solutions.
Now, we have with us Ian Suffield from Jaguar Land Rover. You've been involved in this project, making these silent vehicles audible, but you know, it's not a concept. You have actually put this into a production vehicle now.
We have our new Jaguar I-Pace with this system, as we've developed with the guide dogs, into production now. Obviously, they're very good for the reduction of emissions, not just the CO2, but actually you can use the electric cars and reduce a lot of noise pollution as well. But actually that comes with the potential that they could be too quiet. I would say from my own side, it's not just visually impaired people that have this problem. I too have stepped out in a car park and been surprised by a quiet car coming towards me. So it's very much an issue that anybody could face.
It sounds easy to say, well, just, you know, do something, put a speaker in and make it noisy, but what sort of things do you have to take into consideration?
You're right, we have to make it identifiable as a vehicle on the outside. We have to make it recognisable as a car so that somebody looks in the right direction and they can ascertain what that vehicle is doing, whether it's accelerating, decelerating, or just waiting and stationary. We also have to make it sound recognizable for us as a Jaguar product. We want to make sure that any sound reflects the Jaguarness that we're doing. So we started our development process working with the styling studios and what we call our vision for the car. So we needed to know that it's going to look pretty futuristic, and we needed to know that it's going to have an advanced propulsion system on there. And we wanted the sound to reflect that new technology. We then designed the sound so that the sound sits with the visuals and the car experience. And we then put those sounds on a range of test cars and made sure that they behaved in the way we expect them to, that you could identify and localize the sound so that it was, you know, it was a worthwhile sound. We weren't just adding noise for the sake of adding noise, but you actually got the information you needed to know about where the car was. We did try a range of sounds, and some of which had people looking up because they sounded like aircraft. So we ruled those out straight away because they're just not a valid or useful sound as a warning and alert system.
John, tell me about the part guide dogs played then in helping with this. Did you have guide dog owners go along to listen to it and give feedback?
So certainly the relationship with Jaguar Land Rover was not guide dogs shaping the sound in terms of telling them how it should sound and, you know, what the acoustic properties should be. That's all set in technical regulation and set within the parameters of what Jaguar Land Rover were doing. But what Ian, myself and other colleagues did initially was to sit around the table and discuss the issues. What are the issues that vision impaired people face in their detection of vehicles? How do they detect vehicles? How do they interact with vehicles? Ian came along with several sample vehicles along the way and said, is this detectable? So let me give you one example. We had an American Range Rover that was going to be put into the American market, which had a very different sound to the I-Pace. And actually, interestingly, whilst technically the sound generated by the electric components of this vehicle, because it was a hybrid, was quieter than the comparable engine that it had built into it, we actually could hear it at a further distance. So sometimes people think that it has to be louder to be heard further. So certainly one of the things, the experiences we gained out of that, is that you could design sound to be far more detectable to a far greater distance, but yet from an environmental perspective, it was a lot quieter. So it's really exploring some of those issues. And then we did get a very small group of people, guide dog owners and vision impaired people, to come along and have a listen to the I-Pace. But what we wanted to do is get a sense from those people as to whether it worked. And actually people like Ian and others in the testing group who were wearing blindfolds at the time, so they actually couldn't get any visual cues from the vehicle, was very positive that they could hear it and that it was sufficiently loud enough.
Ian, what was that like, donning a blindfold, you know, really getting that perspective?
Fascinating, actually. And it's one of the great things that has come out from working with John and the Guide Dogs Association is the different perspectives that they've brought to this. It could have been quite easy for us just to follow the regulations and, you know, introduce this when we really needed to. But because of the work we've done, we took a conscientious decision and fitted it early to all cars. You're right that some regulations allow us to have a pause switch. We took the decision to not allow our customers to do that because we think this is a real issue and something that's worth doing. And we were able to design it such that, as John said, it's perceptible outside the car without really shouting or drawing your attention to it. It doesn't necessarily mean that all the noise has to come from that system itself. So when the road is wet or it's on a different surface, you will detect the tire noise or the water splash noise. But it's just really important that you can detect that a vehicle is there, and the AVAS is to back up and make sure that it remains detectable and therefore safe under all the conditions.
We've talked about how the audio for the Jaguar I-Pace was created, but what does it sound like? Well, here's a taster for you. This is what you would hear when the car is stationary, accelerating to 20 kph, then decelerating to a standstill once again. I don't know about you, but I think that is a fantastic audio signature for the vehicle. Definitely makes it easier to hear. But what if, as we said, you're standing waiting to cross and the car is already at, say, the junction or the traffic lights? Traditionally, electric vehicles are silent, but this is what you would hear at the curb and what you would hear as you cross in front of the Jaguar. Ian, will Jaguar Land Rover then be using this device on all their electric vehicles?
We have a commitment now to produce electrified versions of all of our vehicles from 2020, and where they are capable of moving along almost silently, so like either a plug-in hybrid or a battery electric vehicle, we will employ this system, and we'll go through the same process to make sure that the sound is recognisable, detectable, very much suiting the product that's in there in a useful and very useful way to make sure it's doing a good job.
Some great work there then between Guide Dogs and Jaguar Land Rover, making those silent vehicles more audible. For the moment though, to John and to Ian, thanks to both of you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much for inviting me.